Secondly, as I would have thee to consider the sad and woeful state of those that die out of Christ, and are past all recovery, so would I have thee consider the many mercies and privileges thou enjoyest above some, peradventure of thy companions that are departed to their proper place. As, consider, thou hast still the thread of thy life lengthened, which, for thy sins, might 7 years ago or more have been cut asunder, and thou have dropped down among the flames. Consider the terms of reconciliation by faith in Christ are still proffered unto thee, and thou invited, yea, entreated to accept of them. Consider the terms of reconciliation are, but bear with me, though I say but, only to believe in Jesus Christ, with faith that purifies the heart, and enables thy soul to feed on him effectually and be saved from this sad state. Consider the time of thy departure is at hand, and the time is uncertain, and also that for aught thou knowest, the day of grace may be passed to thee before thou diest, not lasting so long as thy uncertain life in this world. And if so, then know for certain that thou art as sure to be damned as if thou wast in hell already, if thou convert not in the meanwhile. Consider it may be some of thy friends are giving all diligence to make their calling and election sure, being resolved for heaven, and thou thyself endeavorest as fast to make sure of hell, as if resolved to have it. And together with this, consider how it will grieve thee that while thou wast making sure of hell, thy friends were making sure of heaven. But more of this by and by. Consider what a sad reflection this will have on thy soul, to see thy friends in heaven and thyself in hell, thy father in heaven and thou in hell, thy mother in heaven and thou in hell, thy brother, thy sister, thy children in heaven, and thou in hell. As Christ said to the Jews of their relations according to the flesh, so may I say to thee concerning thy friends, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see your fathers and mothers, brethren and sisters, husbands and wives, children and kinsfolk, with your friends and neighbors in the kingdom of heaven, and thou thyself thrust out. Luke 13:28-29. But again, thirdly, because I would not only tell thee of the damnable state of those that die out of Christ, but also persuade thee to take hold of life and go to heaven, take notice of these following things. Consider whatever thou canst do as to thy acceptance with God is not worth the dirt of thy shoes, but is all as menstruous rags. Isaiah 64:6. Consider that all the conditions of the new covenant as to salvation are and have been entirely fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that for sinners. Hebrews 8:6. Consider that the Lord calls to thee to receive whatsoever Christ hath done, and that on free cost. Revelation 22:17. Consider that thou canst not honor God more than to close in with his proffers of grace, mercy, and pardon of sin. Romans 4. I shall conclude this head then with a few considerations of encouragement. Consider, for I would fain have thee come in, sinner, that there is a way made by Jesus Christ for them that are under the curse of God to come to this comfortable and blessed state of Lazarus I was speaking of, Ephesians 2. Consider what pains Jesus Christ took for the ransoming of thy soul from all the curses, thunderclaps, and tempests of the law. from all the intolerable flames of hell, and from that soul-sinking appearance of thy person on the left hand before the judgment seat of Christ Jesus, from everlasting fellowship with innumerable companies of yelling and soul-amazing devils. I say, consider what pains the Lord Jesus Christ took in bringing in redemption for sinners from these things, in that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that thou through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He laid aside his glory and became a servant. John 17, Philippians 2. He left the company of angels and encountered with the devil. Luke 4, Matthew 4. He left heaven's ease for a time to lie upon hard mountains, John 8. In a word, he became poorer than those that go with flail and rake, yea, than the very birds or foxes, and all to do thee good. Besides, consider a little those unspeakable and intolerable slightings and rejections, and the manifold abuses that came from men upon him, how he was falsely accused, being a sweet, harmless, and undefiled lamb, how he was undervalued, so that a murderer was counted less worthy of condemnation than he. Besides, how they mock him, spit on him, beat him over the head with staves, and pluck the hair from his cheeks. I gave my back to the smiters, said he, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Think of his head crowned with thorns, his hands pierced with nails, and his side with a spear, together with how they scourged him and so miserably misused him, and that they had even spent him in a great measure before they did crucify him, insomuch that there was another fain to carry his cross. Again, not only this, but lay to heart a little what he received from God his dear Father, though he was his dear and tender Son. First, in that he did deal with him as the greatest sinner and rebel in the world, for he laid the sins of thousands and ten thousands and thousands of sinners to his charge, Isaiah 53, and caused him to drink the terrible cup that was due to them all. And not only so, but did delight in so doing, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God dealt indeed with his Son, as Abraham would have dealt with Isaac, ay, and more terrible by 10,000 parts, for he did not only tear his body like a lion, but made his soul an offering for sin. And this was not done feignedly, but really, for justice called for it, he standing in the room of sinners. Witness that horrible and unspeakable agony that fell on him suddenly in the garden, as if all the vials of God's unspeakable scalding vengeance had been cast upon him all at once, and all the devils in hell had broken loose from thence at once to destroy him, and that forever, insomuch that the very pangs of death seized upon him in the same hour. For, saith he, my soul is amazed and exceeding sorrowful even unto death, Mark 14:33-34. Witness also that strange kind of sweat that trickled down his most blessed face, where it is said he sweat as it were great drops or clotters of blood trickling down to the ground. O Lord Jesus, what a load didst thou carry, what a burden didst thou bear of the sins of the world and the wrath of God. O thou didst not only bleed at nose and mouth with the pressure that lay upon thee, but thou wast so pressed, so loaded, that the pure blood gushed through the flesh and skin and so ran trickling down to the ground. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood trickling or falling down to the ground, Luke 22:44. Canst thou read this, O thou wicked sinner, and yet go on in sin? Canst thou think of this and defer repentance 1 hour longer? O heart of flint, yea, harder, O miserable wretch, what place in hell will be hot enough for thee to have thy soul put into if thou shalt persist or go on still to add iniquity to iniquity? Besides, his soul went down to hell, as Psalm 16, verse 10, Acts 2, 31, and his body to the bars of the grave, and had hell, death, or the grave been strong enough to hold him, then he had suffered the vengeance of eternal fire to all eternity. But, O blessed Jesus, how didst thou discover thy love to man in thy thus suffering? And, O God the Father, how didst thou also declare the purity and exactness of thy justice, in that though it was thine only, holy, innocent, harmless, and undefiled Son Jesus, and that did take on him our nature and represent our persons, answering for our sins instead of ourselves, thou didst so wonderfully pour out thy wrath upon him, to the making of him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And, O Lord Jesus, what a glorious conquest hast thou made over the enemies of our souls, even wrath, sin, death, hell, and the devils, in that thou didst wring thyself from under the power of them all. And not only so, but hast led them captive, which would have led us captive, and also as to receive for us that glorious and unspeakable inheritance that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and also hast given us some discovery thereof through thy Spirit. And now, sinner, together with this consider, that though Jesus Christ hath done all these things for sinners, yet the devils make it their whole work and continual study how they may keep thee and others from enjoying these blessed privileges that have been thus obtained for sinners by this sweet Jesus. Satan labors, I say, to keep thee ignorant of thy state by nature, to harden thy heart against the ways of God, to inflame thy heart with love to sin and the ways of heart darkness, and to get thee to continue therein. For that is the way he knows to get thee to be a partaker with him of flaming hell fire, even the same which he himself is fallen into, together with the rest of the wicked world by reason of sin. Look to it, therefore. Fifthly, but now in the next place, a word of encouragement to you that are the saints of the Lord. Consider what a happy state thou art in, and that hast gotten the faith of the Lord Jesus into thy soul. But be sure thou have it. I say, how safe, how sure, how happy art thou. For when others go to hell, thou must go to heaven. When others go to the devil, thou must go to God. When others go to prison, thou must be set at liberty, at ease, and at freedom. When others must roar for sorrow of heart, then thou shalt also sing for joy of heart. Consider thou must have all thy well-spent life to follow thee, instead of all thy sins, and the glorious blessings of the gospel instead of the dreadful curses and condemnations of the law, the blessing of the Father instead of a fiery sentence from the judge. Let dissolution come when it will, it can do thee no harm, for it will be but only a passage out of a prison into a palace, out of a sea of troubles into an haven of rest, out of a crowd of enemies to an innumerable company of true, loving, and faithful friends, out of shame, reproach, and contempt, into exceeding great and eternal glory. For death shall not hurt thee with its sting, nor bite thee with his soul-murdering teeth, but it shall be a welcome guest to thee, even to thy soul, in that it is sent to free thee from thy troubles which thou art in, whilst here in this world dwelling in the tabernacle of clay. Consider, however it goes with friends and relations, yet it will go well with thee. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12. However it goes with the wicked, yet I know, Mark, yet I know, saith he, that it shall go well with them that fear the Lord, that fear before him. And therefore let this, in the first place, cause thee cheerfully to exercise thy patience under all the calamities, crosses, troubles, and afflictions that may come upon thee, and by patient continuance in well-doing to commit both thyself and thine affairs and actions into the hands of God, through Jesus Christ, as to a faithful Creator, who is true to his word and loveth to give unto thee whatsoever he hath promised to thee. And therefore, to encourage thee while thou art here, with comfort to hold on, for all thy crosses in this thy journey be much in considering the place that thou must go into, so soon as dissolution comes. It must be into heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to Jesus, to the Redeemer who is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things for thee than Abel's did for Cain. Hebrews 12:22-24. Consider that when the time of the dead, that they shall be raised, is come, then shall thy body be raised out of the grave, and be glorified, and be made like to Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:21. O excellent condition! When Jesus Christ shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall also sit with him, even when he shall sit on the throne of his glory. Oh, will not this be glorious, that when thousands and thousands and thousands shall be arraigned before the judgment seat of Christ, then for them to sit with him upon the throne together with him to pass the sentence of the ungodly? 1 Corinthians 6:2 and 3. Will it not be glorious to enjoy those things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man to conceive? Will it not be glorious to have this sentence, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world? Will it not be glorious to enter then, with the angels and saints, into that glorious kingdom? Will it not be glorious for thee to be in a glory with them, while others are in unutterable torments? Oh, then, how will it comfort thee to see that thou hast not lost that glory, to think that the devil hath not got thy soul, that thy soul should be saved, and that not from a little but a great exceeding danger, not with a little, but a great salvation? Oh, therefore, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them triumph over all their enemies. Let them begin to sing heaven upon earth. Triumph before they come to glory, even when they are in the midst of their enemies, for this honor shall have all his saints. As Psalm 149 verses 5-9.